Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to a bi-week edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast brought to you by Evergood Sausage. I'm your host, NBC Sports Bay Area Raiders Insider Scott Baer. And normally, the format of this podcast is we sit down with a feature guest, but I thought it was time to break from that because the Raiders are 1-5 at the bye week. It's time to sit down, have a roundtable discussion with Kelly Johnson. You know her as the host of Raiders Central, Raiders Post, Raiders Press Conference Live, and also in the room with me, Lorenzo Neal, Pro Bowler, host of the 95.7
The game
morning show, sitting down. And what we're going to really break down is something specific. We're going to give John Gruden a progress report on a couple of different things because John Gruden is the Raiders czar. So first of all, we're going to talk about John Gruden, the personnel guy, and then we're going to talk about John Gruden, the head coach. He has to wear both hats. So let's start with John Gruden.
I want to say, can we first start with the obvious, like the elephant in the room? You're left with us is what's happening.
Right.
It's the bye week. Right. Everyone got 5 days off.
There we go.
And we're like the emergency fill-in, which I'm happy to
I've pulled the fire alarm. I called in some favors.
Wow. Wow.
Me and Lorenzo go way back to the
you
Central
guys
Valley.
Central Valley, baby.
Ooh, look
yes.
at that. Okay.
And Kelly the raisin
Johnson,
capital
I go
of the
way
world.
Back to Idaho. Okay, so how about that
oh,
one?
Oh, you want a potato? We got raisins. You got potatoes in Idaho, and we got plenty of raisins.
Raisins, okay.
And Kelly Johnson, I've stolen her car keys, so she can't leave until we're done here.
Right?
So,
I'm trapped, but so I'm happy to do it.
It's all worked out according to my master plan. And so here we are talking about John Gruden and his personnel choices. Let's just talk about that first. Obviously, they sit here at 1-5. Boy, do they miss Khalil Mack, obviously. And Loa, how much of an yes, that was a couple months ago now. Are there lingering effects from that Mack trade, and are there going to be for a long time?
There will be, and I think that people have to realize, and I think John Gruden understands this. He'll his whole career from the to now till he to he's done. It will always be surrounded by Khalil Mack. That decision to trade Khalil Mack, you think about it. That is the biggest decision that John Gruden made in his football career. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You traded a transcending player, a player that you wish. And you hope you get a guy like that come through your locker room. And you traded him for two picks. I understand that. So now we have to trust the process in John Gruden and think that John Gruden, he did it because he got two first-round picks for this guy. Goes to show you what the market dictated, how valuable this guy was.
Right.
So this, in my opinion, Kelly, was always going to be attached, this trade, this what he did is always going to be attached to John Gruden.
Yeah, this trade may in fact be the worst and trade in franchise history. It may go down and always be remembered as that. I think it's going to haunt John Gruden and this organization for quite a while. It's certainly going to haunt them throughout the season because the more Khalil Mack tears it up over there in Chicago and the more they fail to get pressure on quarterback and force turnovers, the more we continue to bring it up because he is a transcendent player. He is a once-in-a-generation type player. He is a potential future Hall of Fame type player. So, you know, you don't normally trade those guys.
Right.
And especially the timing of it, I think that's
right
what it was.
Right before the season.
Right before the season, everyone just kind of goes, okay, this is the business part. It's going to get done. Not only is he our best player, but he is a great teammate. He is a hard worker. He's a Gruden-type grinder. He's the kind of guy Gruden loves.
That's the crazy thing.
So then
thing.
You trade this guy that's one of the best in the game at what he does. Everyone loves him. He loves being a Raider. He wants to be part of the future. And I think it was like a gut punch. That in a sense, they lost the season right then and there.
Yeah.
I don't think this locker room has gotten over it. I don't think they're going to get over it. And I think they lost trust immediately in John Gruden, wondering, okay, well, what does my future hold? If this guy doesn't get paid, what happens to me when it's time to pay me?
You got rid of the best player on that Raider team was Khalil Mack. You're talking about building. That is the guy. That was the essential building block. He was a leader. And like you said, Kelly, he is what John Gruden is, a grinder. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that helped Carr. He's a guy mentally. He was their psychologist. He was their tough guy. He was their tough guy. He was their glue. You sent that away. And on the way out, you said that we weren't good with Khalil Mack. We didn't get a sack till
that. He didn't want to be a Raider. Also,
he didn't want to be a Raider. When you let that out, and when those guys, that's the thing that John Gruden has to realize. Players aren't dumb. Players know where Khalil, they get on the phone. You think Khalil Mack didn't want to be a Raider? Yeah. They know he wanted to be a Raider. So when you say statements like that, those players are like, come on. They were had conversation with this guy. So it's just interesting. And I think this team was heading down this road. Once you got rid of your tough guy on that team, you were lost.
Yeah. He wasn't a me guy either. Like, right. He wasn't a,
he's a
you
guy
know,
that you want to pay.
He's the exact kind of guy you want to pay. He's a good in the community. He's good off field. He's not going to get in trouble. Right. He's all the things you want in Absolutely. A player that's going to, you're going to base your franchise around. My question is, and to Scott, do you think that this was really about them not being able to pay him? They obviously had him under contract another year. They could have waited to try and figure out the financial aspect of it, and they didn't know how long he was going to hold out. But was this Gruden kind of like wanting it his way and just being like, I'm not going to let a player try and, you know, bully us around and have the leverage? Or was this really something that was out of his control from a financial standpoint, and he just didn't want to wait around and wait for this guy to show up?
They could afford him. That everybody, he kept talking about amounts of dollars. It's all about percentage of the salary cap that's going to go up and up and up.
Right.
And it's going to keep doing that. I think ultimately what it comes down to was a level of impatience that Aaron Donald deal came out and it was massive. And yeah. John Gruden said, I'm never going to pay that total number of dollars. Somebody go get me 2 first round picks. And then boom, it was gone and it happened. And it was over so quickly that I think what you guys have been talking about, yeah, it was a gut punch, but I think the spin after he got traded was that
you could have gotten Khalil cheaper from Donald. You
right.
could have got, if you would have pursued
taking care of it sooner,
you would have got that right? cheap. You would have got Khalil Mack done cheaper than Donald.
And
you know that if they would have did it earlier and addressed the issue.
They were trying to get it done in February, and then that was the end of the conversation. It was like one salvo and then no more.
Is this the part of the game that, you know, people always going to, it's passed John Gruden by, which I don't believe at all. He's been around the game. He's just been in the broadcast booth. But the financial aspect of the game is very different from when he last coached and where he is now and how you deal with some of these big contracts. And they just played Derek Carr, and they just paid their 2 offensive linemen. Do you think he's going to have to make an adjustment to say, okay, I might not think a player should get paid this much, especially maybe a defensive player, but and think that they have leverage to get this and understand, but no, that's where the business has gone.
The Raiders Insider Podcast is brought to you by Evergood Sausage Company, bringing you locally smoked, handmade sausages out of San Francisco for 92 years, family owned. I think that's a good pivot point from Mac to how he's going to deal with being a de facto GM anyway, is that we're starting to hear these Amari Cooper trade rumors, right? Because very soon he's going to get big time money and John is deciding whether he's worth that. I know he didn't want to get saddled with being salary cap hell right away. And ultimately how he deals with that side of it, obviously with some advice from other guys, is going to be an interesting point because you're going to have to pay some people besides your quarterback at some point. And you can't wait forever for that perfect guy because you let the perfect guy walk out the door. So how is he going to deal with all that stuff? You know, and I think it's weird, Lorenzo, if you look at it, everybody talks about him loving veterans, right? And then he brought in a ton of veterans. It's the oldest roster. But what are you getting from Rashawn Melvin and the second coming of Reggie Nelson and a bunch of guys who were signed and didn't even make this roster? What do you think of this free agent class?
What are you getting from your running
whole?
Back that you brought in from Tampa Bay?
Doug Martin. Yeah, couple carries per game. You know,
is that really worth it? This team is it's interesting because no one thought this team would be 1-5, and their record doesn't indicate the talent that's on this team. I disagree with anyone that says this team has no talent, especially offensively. You can't sit here and say that you don't have receivers. You went and got Jordy Nelson. Look at Jordy Nelson. He can make plays. You're tight end. He can make plays. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper can make plays. Marshawn Lynch playing at a level, a good level. You have a quarterback. You have your offensive line. You can't tell me just looking on paper the talent isn't on this offense. And you go to cross the pond and you put only 3 points up. There's a disconnect here. Something is going on, and I really believe when you think about what's going on, these guys have to – Gruden has to find a way to want make these guys want to play because they're underachieving. This team is underachieving. I cannot back off of that ledge and say that I'm wrong in that regard. The healthy Raider team is underachieving offensively without a doubt. I'm not going to say they don't have some weak parts on defense, but offensively – this team is underachieving.
Defensively, they're not giving them extra possessions, short fields. They're not the field position turnovers.
Completely.
Yeah, and then you think of your Derek Carr, and we've seen Derek Carr throw one too many interceptions, especially in the red zone. He's picking poor times to take chances and try and squeeze a ball in. Great. So when your offense is turning the ball over, your defense is getting zero turnovers. It puts more pressure on the offense, and I feel like Derek Carr trying to play under John Gruden, which is not easy. I think he's trying to be too perfect. I think he's trying to do too much. I think he's pressing, trying to make the plays that he believes Gruden believes he can make. Mm-hmm. And I think it's made for a really bad. And then the injuries on the offensive line, that has certainly hurt. You got Donald Penn making the move to the right tackle. Now he's on IR. You've got issues with your left guard position. You got a young left tackle that's dealing with a knee injury. He's getting taken to school. Melvin Ingram took him to school. Frank Clark took him to school. I mean, he's in a learning phase, right? So you have all these factors happening, and you don't have anything coming from your defensive side of the ball, and your special teams is bad. And you're missing field goals. You got a young rookie kicker and a rookie placeholder and a rookie punter, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what does this team do well? What one thing does this team do well?
It should pass the ball well, and it should run well between the tackles because they have an incredibly expensive and experienced and decorated interior offensive line. As Lo pointed out, they got weapons everywhere.
Well,
so,
Gruden said his running back, he thought that was the strength of his team. Remember his running backs with Lynch and Martin and Rashard. Martin.
Yeah, so I think to maybe back to Lo's point here is that we're talking about a group that is underachieving because you say, what do they do well? The answer is not very much. What should they do well? I think we have a lot of answers for that. So ultimately, that there's talent on this team that's been assembled. Let's move towards the rookie class that John Gruden just had because apparently he doesn't like any of Reggie McKenzie's picks that have ever existed. He's been cutting them and moving on from them, but he's playing 10 rookies. He's playing a lot of draft picks. We've talked about Colton Miller. Maybe this is a bright spot. Maybe those three defensive linemen are something that you can hang your hat on. What do you look at this draft class? Do you see anything early and positive, some Maurice Hurst or P.J. Hall or Arden Key, any of these guys that you think, all right, maybe that's a good thing that he's done?
Well, Gruden is going to play his rookies. That's what he's going to do. Why? Because his job is to make sure that he put the players out there that's his guys. That's just how it is. You look at his record in Tampa Bay, you know, Kelly, and think about how many people he drafted in a seven-year period. Was Tampa Bay better off or worse off when he left? Go look how many guys that he drafted. None of them made the Pro Bowl. Talib made it after he left on another team.
It's
shocking.
If
you go look at his record, far as a GM, John Gruden, a GM, has been absolutely ferocious.
Well, they went from 12-4 Super Bowl champs his first year, and that was not his team. That was Tony Dungy's, to 7-9 the next year, which is what I talked to Chris Sims about.
Was yes.
That was him. Second year is when you really start putting your stamp on
it. And look at all of
team.
His draft picks from that seven-year period. Go look and see how many of those draft picks panned out to be Hall of Famers, Pro Bowler. Go look it up, and you guys would be shocked at those numbers. And I think just what you hit an interesting point, Kelly, when you alluded to those were Tony Dungy's guys. I believe that Gruden is feeling that, and that's why this exorcist is happening. Mm-hmm. I think that he wants to win with his guys. Everyone says every time you talk about Tampa winning the Super Bowl, he said that was Dungy's guys. That's so now what does he do? No more Khalil Mack. Carr's on the bubble. He's going to probably be traded after the year. I don't think that you cut him. I think that you trade Carr. Why would I cut him? This guy can play, and a team's going to take a chance on Derek Carr. He's shown that he's capable of playing at a high level. So trade him. You can probably get a second. Now you just got rid of your quarterback. You can pick up a second or maybe even a first. Come on. You don't think he can play Bortles? But you don't think he's better than Bortles? You don't think he'll look at Eli Manning? Their Carr is going to land somewhere in the National Football League. In my opinion, after this year, Carr will be traded.
You think so? I don't think Carr will be traded. I do think it's interesting that almost every player that he came in when he took this job and he expressed over exuberance about is either gone, been benched. I mean, we talked about Khalil Mack. The number one reason he came to take the job with the Raiders was Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's gone. Then he started talking about Amari Cooper, going to be the central piece of my offense. This kid's explosive. Now he can't even see the field. I mean, he's hurt right now with a concussion, but inconsistency is followed. He has a good game, then he disappears. And a good game, and he disappears. And even his good games aren't great games. And then Gerrion Conley, this kid's a playmaker. He's an athlete. He's just got to stay healthy. He's healthy. Guess what? He's benched because now all of a sudden he can't tackle. He can't do some fundamentals right. He can't seem to find the field because they brought in some more, veterans. So, and Daryl Worley is certainly coming off the suspension, played better. But it's weird, like all these players that weren't his draft pick, but that he said were, and Derek Carr obviously is in that mix too. So, I mean, the Amari Cooper thing is baffling to me. I think the kid, he's a good kid. I think he's got extreme talent. I think the game has probably come easy to him in many ways. People are questioning his heart, his passion for the game. He doesn't express that, and that may drive John Gruden crazy. Talking to Chris Sims, Gruden's like, hey, do you love football? Do you love football? He wants players to love football and talk and breathe and eat, and everything they do is football. Mark Cooper doesn't show you that.
Right.
So there might be a disconnect in how he doesn't know how to relate to Amari. He doesn't know how to bring out the best in Amari. No one's figured out at this level how to bring out the best. Maybe you should call Nick Saban, figure out how to bring out the best in him. But I do wonder if maybe Amari Cooper is a good receiver, but he's never going to be that elite receiver simply because the great ones don't get taken away. You're going to get the double teams. You're going to have the safeties roll over. You're going to have to break those coverages. You have to get separation. The great ones do, right? And maybe it's Derek Carr not trusting him either. We've talked about that, Scott. Maybe it's Derek Carr not trusting Amari and not sticking with him enough. I don't know. Or maybe it's play calling. Maybe it's game planning. I don't really know what the answer is with Amari, but he is a good talent. It's hard to imagine them trading him.
I still think it is. I don't think they're going to get a first-round pick, and maybe that's the pie-in-the-sky thought of, if we get that, then we'll trade him. And maybe they'll hang on to him and at least see what's going to happen with him over the course of one season at least. How many of these guys do you think are supreme athletic talents that may not be perfect fits? And John is proving impatient like he was with the Mac trade. He just given up. Obi Melifonwu is built like a Greek god and has all the talents that you could ever imagine. I've heard he doesn't love football, but you sweep him out before you really have a chance to get to know him. I think that those are the types of impatient moves that we're seeing. But broader.
I want to get you a point. What's your take on Derek Carr? His cap number next year, if they cut him before the deadline, is only $4 million against the cap. What is your take on Carr? Last year he struggled. This year he struggled.
It's hard to find a good quarterback in the league, though.
It is. I'm still a big believer in what he can do physically. I think he's a supreme arm talent. I think he has great football smarts. He's been calling plays since he was at your alma mater in Fresno State, and he gets it. But I think at times his mind can go a bit too fast, that he's worried about pleasing his coaches, and he's worried about doing the exact thing and taking all the advice from his family and his brother. Don't get hit too much and throw it here and do that and do this. And he's trying to make everybody happy at the same time.
Too.
Right. He's fighting all these reputations, fighting all these things in his head at the same time. And maybe he's paralyzed by the analysis. I think if he's free like he was playing in 2016, I think he can be a darn good quarterback. That's in there. It's not lost or buried forever by a broken leg or some fractured vertebrae in his back. So I think this Gruden-Carr relationship, I think it can still work. And Gruden, it's hard to trust everything he says because of what you were talking about, Kelly, that he says a lot of praise for this guy. And he says, if Derek Carr doesn't work, then I've failed. Well, he said a lot of other stuff that wasn't
right,
and it didn't end up being true. So ultimately, I have a lot of confidence in Derek Carr. You've brought up maybe you have a lot of confidence in Derek Carr, maybe as a Giant or a Jaguar or
somewhere else
as well. And I think that that's going to be the key component as we move throughout the course of this season. Who knows how many wins that they're going to get. But what is Derek Carr going to show, and how much is this marriage going to work? Because if they end up at the end of the year and he's leading the league in interceptions and he looks tentative or things like that, then maybe you are more apt to trade him. He gets cheaper by the day.
Yeah.
He's going to make $19 million bucks next year. That sounds like a lot compared to some other guys that keep getting raises above him. It's not. So ultimately, when you trade away Khalil Mack, that's another thing. All the pressure is on number four now. There's no other superstar to share the load with him. So ultimately, that's what I think it's going to boil down to. If we look forward now, as we kind of start to wrap this thing up, we're only through 6 games. 1-5 is awful.
There are a lot of 1-5 teams, though.
There are. There's 5 of them.
It's a lot of bad football this year.
Right, you know, so you know, where do we go from here? Like, where do the Raiders go from here? How can they turn what was a terrible start into something respectable? What's the key to bringing this thing that has fallen apart back together?
I'll tell you what. Just like winning's an attitude, so is losing. Losing's contagious. I've been on a team that we went 14-2, and I've been on a team we went 2-14. Played for the Bengals, the Bongles. I played for the Saints when they called us the Aints. I know what it's like. I know what guys do. I see how guys are. Look in their eyes, know they're not ready. See how guys go through their practice. You hear what they're doing. They're thinking about other things. When you check out, you check out. It's hard to get this thing. It's hard to ride the ship. When you have guys that's been in this situation and they're up against it, it's hard for those guys to come out and play at the level that you're used to. There was inexcusable last week. Seattle Seahawks doesn't have a great offensive line. We know that. Seattle Seahawks doesn't have great receivers. They ran all over them. That is a lack of effort. That is a lack of want to. I can say them going through practice and going through the motion, but they're not selling out. They're not. Something is going on. I'm just telling you.
Maybe a lack of coaching, too, right?
That's
because when your players don't come out and play and they're not ready to play, and we know he took them to London late and there was questions if that was smart. But that directly goes back to coaching. Do you always hear like,
who's gotten better? Tell me on the Raiders and your veteran guys that came back on this team. Tell me who's gotten better.
No one's gotten better. No, I mean, I do like some of the young defensive linemen that you talked about. I do think there's some promise in that. Their effort is there for the most part.
Sure.
They're going to make mistakes. But, you know, like when the Warriors come out flat, Steve Kerr goes, that's on me. That's on coaching. So to me, we've seen a continual cycle of mistakes, penalties, big plays given up on the defense, sacks, turnovers, you know, just an inability for the offense to move the chain, to complete drives in the red zone, missed field goals. I mean, there are fundamental issues. Gary and Conley can't tackle. Why can't he tackle? He was at Ohio State. So you're telling me, and you got all these great coaches. So for me, it's hard not to turn and look now at the coaching staff and say, and John Gruden says, my fingers are all over this record and these losses. But then, okay, I guess is it time to go back to the fundamentals with this team? You got a lot of young players. Play them all. Get them experience. See what you got.
That's exactly
get to the
what
fundamentals.
I would
keep it simple, because you are playing some bad teams. You've got Arizona 1-5. You've got the 49ers 1-5. You've got Indianapolis next 1-5. So you got some teams that you should probably beat or at least be competitive with. So, you know, I don't know what the answers are, because he doesn't have the roster that he wants, but the roster that he has right now is not playing good football.
You can't mean to tell me you'd rather have the San Francisco 49ers roster, their offensive line, over this team.
Right.
You mean to tell me you look at what's going on and you can't tell? One thing about the Niners, you can say what you want, Raider fans, they're competing.
Yep.
Show me a game they didn't compete on.
They went into Green Bay on Monday Night Football with a banged up offensive line, a backup quarterback in C.J. Beathard,
backup running back.
Their backup running back, who was also banged up. I mean, and they almost beat Aaron Rodgers on his own field.
What game have they not competed in? That is on the head coach.
They schemed well. They game planned well. They play called well. I mean, they were creative. They were playing to their players' strength. I wonder how much John Gruden does that necessarily and says, okay, this may not be the roster that I want, and this may not be the way I want to play the game, maybe not the way my offense, I picture it, but I got to go with what I got.
You adjust. If you're at your house and you want to make some food and you only have a certain amount in there, you adjust to what you have. And if you don't have it, you make it work. You find out way put guys in position to be successful. Here's a guy. Think about Goff in L.A. with the Rams. They wanted to run him out of there. They said this guy was a bust. All the different things. What happened? What
Sean
changed?
McVay
comes in there and look at this guy's career. You can't tell me that coaching doesn't play a part in it. They said that Goff was a bust. You heard Troy Aikman on the game talking about he couldn't throw the out route. He couldn't do any of this stuff. You have Fisher. You have Gruden. You have a group of coaches, whoever it might be. Think about it. But now there's a new era of coaches that are in here, and they're creative, and they're doing things and putting guys in position. Guys want guys to go out there and be able to read coverage and all that, those different things. Football in the National Football League is coming to Big 12. It's spread open. It's read routes on the way out. It's finding holes, finding zone, and they're on the same page. You look at Jared Goff and see what this kid's doing, and you want to tell me that what happened?
Yeah, John McVay happened.
Yeah, it was coaching. So Maybe that's the moral of our story here as we wrap this thing up, is that maybe this is this bye week, that this break is on the coaching staff for reasons that we've all been talking about. The John Gruden honeymoon lasted a long time from the winter into the spring through free agency, because he's a rock star coach that everybody grew up listening to on Monday Night Football, and they wanted to play for him and they wanted to be a part of what he was doing. And that's all worn off with 1-5 and mm-hmm. how they really didn't compete against the Seahawks. And the talent is still there. Guys are still playing for dollars. They want to win, even if it's only, if it's not to be a part of a greater Raiders rebuild, if it's just to get a better, a bigger paycheck next year, right? Mm-hmm. To find motivations for all these guys, try to bring them together after they come back and do something better. So I do think it's fair. John supposedly hired this all-star coaching staff, from the position coaches to the coordinators to him. It's time for them to earn their money, kind of get this ship turned around, take advantage of some weaker competition, and finally get going.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Have fun at Disneyland.
How can you not? I'm going, taking the little ones.
Where are you going, Scott?
Yeah. You just won a Super Bowl. Where are you going?
You just won the bye week.
You just made it to a bye week. Nice. Miracle. Yes. Guys, thank you so much for the time. And talk to y'all next week with another guest. Raiders Insider Podcast brought to you by Evergood Sausage. Thank you so much for joining it.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.